going to read you a bit of a story today, a story of a famous woman in the Bible, a woman called Ruth. And I'm going to read a bit of it and then I'm going to tell a bit of it because it's a bit long-winded for us today. Though it's a great story to read if you've got time. But because I'm trying to get to chapter 2, I'm going to shorten it a little bit. So, long ago, in the days before Israel had a king, there was a famine in the land. That means there wasn't enough what? Enough what? Boys, what wasn't there enough of? There was a famine in the land. Wasn't enough? Guess? Any idea? What do you think, Cameron? Thank you. Good man. There wasn't enough food. Just like those people we were hearing about in our village. So a man named Elimelech went with his wife Naomi and their two sons to live for a while in a faraway country. And you can see here that the two sons, there they are, they got married. And they got married to some girls who lived in the country of Moab. And one of them is called Ruth. And I think she's the one with the red thing on, so we can tell who she is. But something very sad happened. The two sons died. And her husband died as well, so there was just women left. And women at that time, it wasn't very good to be a woman on your own in those days. Sometime later, Naomi heard that the Lord had blessed his people by giving them a good harvest. So she got ready to leave Moab with her daughters-in-law. Now, what happened was they set off and she said to them, girls, you go back to your own people. And Naomi said to them, go back, you'll be better off. And they didn't want to go, but Orpah went off. And this is what Ruth said. Ruth said, don't ask me to leave you. Let me go with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. So if Ruth hadn't stayed with Naomi, she'd have had to go home all on her own. And that would have been quite difficult for her. So they came back, and Naomi had a relative named Boaz, a rich and influential man who belonged to her husband's family. One day Ruth said to Naomi, let me go in the fields to gather the corn that the harvest workers leave. Now, Judith and Debbie have done some lovely displays for us today of flowers and things. And here is some corn or possibly barley. Corn, I think. Barley? We're delving deep into my memory now. It's a long time. So this is what Ruth was picking up. Something like this. Something grassy. Yes? And then when they'd got it, what they'd do is they'd do something with this. They'd like take these seeds off. And I bet you'd done this with some grass when you've been in the countryside. They'd take the seeds off. And instead of just throwing them away like we would do, they'd mash them up, turn them into flour, bake them into bread. And that's where your bread comes from. So this is what our hero, Ruth, was gathering. And the men had left bits around the edges. And you can see there she is. She's got a basket and she's gathering it up, not just for fun and not to make a lovely display, but to make some dinner. So she went out there. It happened that she was in a field that belonged to Boaz. It didn't just happen, because we know there's a love story about to happen if we've read the end of the story. Sometime later, Boaz arrived. And he said, who's that young woman? And the man said, she's the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me to let her follow the workers and pick up the corn. She's been working very hard all day. And Boaz said to Ruth, don't pick any corn up anywhere except in this field. And then he did something very nice. He told his workers to leave extra for Ruth. They were supposed to leave some around the edges. But he said, leave extra for Ruth. And he said, I've heard about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. I know how you left your father and mother and your own country and how you came to live among a people you'd never known before. May the Lord reward you for what you've done. May you have a full reward from the Lord God of Israel to whom you've come for protection. That's just the start of the story of Ruth. And she turns out to have a great story from way, way, way back in history. Really interesting. And an interesting fact about Ruth is that one of her descendants became King David, King of Israel. So although you might think he was totally Jewish, Ruth was one of his ancestors. And then from King David, Jesus was born in his line. So Ruth's an important woman in the Bible. So that's Ruth. Now, why was Ruth able to go and pick grain in the fields? Because I have been in some farmers' fields and I've been seen off with a shotgun once for camping in a farmer's field. Has that happened to anyone else? No, just me? But farmers don't like you going through their fields much. In Scotland, they have to put up with it because of a law, but you have to go around the edge of the field. So farmers don't like you tramping around their fields. And if you went to the fields and you said, I'm going to pick some of your stuff, the farmers wouldn't be very happy. So how was Ruth able to do that? Well, it was because of God's plans for harvest. God, when he told his people what to do at harvest time, this is what he said. He said, when you reap to the edges of your land, in other words, that's when you're cutting it all down, and they didn't have a combine harvest, they had a big knife, yeah? Do not reap to the very edges or gather the bits that are left behind, the gleanings, the bits that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner, I'm the Lord your God. And to make it clearer, in case people thought, aha, so we have to do that with our corn and barley, but nothing else, he said, don't go over your vineyard a second time. Or pick up the grapes that have fallen, leave them for the poor and the foreigner, I'm the Lord your God. So that's how Ruth was able to go around the edges, because they had to leave the edges for the poor people. And that's what Ruth was going to do. So God's plans for harvest are that we should share our harvest with people who have less than us. And isn't it amazing that way, way back in history, God had made this rule that meant that some poor, that we should share our harvest with people who have less than us. And because of that, Chris has talked a bit about Harvest Festival. I found this lovely, what we used to do in harvest time, there's a miniature church on the internet. Isn't there everything on the internet? Look, it's a miniature church on the internet, St. Hilda's, and the lady updates it every week with what's happening in St. Hilda's church. It's obviously Anglican because they've got an eagle there and somebody with a dog collar on. But this is a Harvest Festival. It's kind of cute, and people have brought their little miniature loaves with them and their miniature pumpkins. So this is what used to happen at Harvest Festival. In our country, is we'd bring our bread, like Chris said, and we'd bring it up here. And this would see some kind of other, another harvesty pictures on my next slide. Lovely, I'd like a loaf like that, with a little mouse on it. Like a loaf to represent the bread, the corn it's made from. And people would bring baskets like this. Isn't this great? Baskets of fruit and veg, and give it to the poor people who lived around. We don't do that so much now. And one of the reasons we don't is because our harvests are a bit different. Can anyone guess? And Chris, I'm going to ask you to go around with the microphone. And I've got some. Can anyone guess where I come from, which is obviously a long way away? I used to pick some things at harvest time. All right? Not just. I used to pick some things and get paid for picking these things, right? You used to get paid for harvesting something. What do you think it might have been? Any ideas? I'm from Scotland. So it could be Mars bars.
Corn.
Corn. Good idea, but not right, no. Good idea. Because that is, what might I have harvested at harvest time?
Barley.
Barley. Oh, good idea. Nope. There was a barley field near me. They do grow barley.
Apples.
Apples. Fantastic idea. You're getting closer. Oh, I forgot to say, I've got these healthy snacks. They're not really healthy. They're pretending to be healthy. They're fruit. I'm sure they're just as sugary. But you can have one of these if you get a question right. There's
carrots.
Cherry, berry, and mango. Yes?
Carrots.
Carrots, great idea, but not right.
Bananas.
That would be great if it came from somewhere where you could harvest bananas. No, last try.
Raspberries.
Wow, fantastic. Let's see my raspberries. I used to pick raspberries, and the theory was you would earn money doing it. But I was really rubbish at it. And one time I went to a camp, a Scripture Union camp. You were supposed to earn enough money to pay for the camp. And you had to go out every day. This was the year of Charles and Diana's wedding. We saw that there. But we picked the berries, and you had a little basket here. And you put them in there. And then you took it to the end of the row when you filled it up and tipped it into a big bucket. And from then on, I have never eaten raspberry jam. And all I can say is if they still pick raspberries the way that they did it then, I'd advise you to do the same. Because it wasn't nice. Because you got paid by weight, and people used to do all sorts to make the weight up. But anyway, so I had these raspberries, and I was picking, that's the truth, picking the raspberries. I went to Hartley's, and picking the raspberries and going in there. And at the end of the week, my friend Jackie had paid for the camp and made £30. My mum had to pay an extra £20 because I hadn't picked enough, and I wasn't eating them. I was so rubbish at picking raspberries, you got all scratched. But if I brought my harvest of raspberries to church, they would have gone all soggy and horrible. So we have different types of harvests at different times, And I want to know as well, has anyone here picked anything interesting? I want an answer to that question, and then the question, what do you think they grow in different places? So if you've picked anything interesting, more interest... here's one down at the front. Picked anything interesting?
Brazil nuts from Brazil.
You've picked Brazil nuts? In Brazil? Oh, Brazil nuts grow in Brazil. Yes, thank you. I'm asking two questions and confusing people. Thank you. Well done, yes?
Blackberries.
Cameron's picked blackberries. Has anyone else got paid for picking anything? Oh, some ladies back there have been paid for picking things. Strawberries. Thank you, Helen. Anyone else been paid for picking? Margaret's been paid for picking black currants.
Potatoes.
Oh, that's hard. You've got to bend right down to pick potatoes. Horrible job. And hard work. Anyone else been paid for picking anything down here? And then I'll see if we've got anyone who's... can tell me what the main harvest pumpkins. Is.
We used to pick pumpkins, marrows, courgettes.
Pumpkins and marrows. I bet you to bend down to do that as well. Thank you. So, interesting things people have picked. What do you think the main harvest is in China? It's the kind of thing you used to teach you in school, isn't it? So I believe. In China, what do they grow most? So what's the main harvest in China? Yes.
Rice.
Well done, I think that's right. I hope somebody knows the answers to these, by the way, because I don't. Main harvest in Nigeria. Come on. Teju. Cocoa and mangoes. Cocoa and mangoes, that sounds nice. Cocoa and mangoes. And a lot of that's for selling, yeah?
Yes.
Yep, for selling abroad. In France. Oh, some of us are familiar with the fruit of France.
Grapes
to make wine in Brazil nuts. Well answered down there. Main harvest in Chelmsford. What have we got? The main harvest in
carrots.
Yeah, a lot of people are growing carrots in Chelmsford at the moment. I think that's true. Vegetables in their gardens, definitely. I don't know that we've got a...
Courgettes.
Oh, some people have got too many courgettes. I've been given some.
Carrots.
Carrots again, still correct. Good. So lots of things growing in Chelmsford. Last two.
Corn.
Oh, corn. I think there's corn growing.
Apples.
Apples, yeah, there's a lot of apples out my back. If anyone wants them. Back garden. So, and some of these, look. I've got a load of elderberries and lots of... blackberries. You can come up and have a look at those later. Don't think you'd better pick them, though. So, the main harvest in Chelmsford, well, there's a lot of wild stuff growing, but we don't grow our food so much. We go to the shops and buy it mostly, which is a bit sad sometimes. When you see apples dropping on the ground and nobody even bothers to pick them up. So, at different times in the world, there's different harvests. I've got a picture of somebody you might remember, I think, here. Anyone remember this lady? Was she in the Girls' Brigade, Pat? This is somebody who was there. She was when she looked to me in the Girls' Brigade. Somebody called Helen. And she's a friend of ours, and she's moved to Sheffield, and she's making jam at the moment to sell for Zimbabwe. Some children she knows in Zimbabwe who are orphans and are living in an orphanage. So she's seen all lots of things lying around that aren't being used up, and that's what she's doing. So that might be a harvest thing from around here. Anyway, where I'm going with this, is that there are different types of harvest, and nowadays most of us aren't picking things like I had to do sometimes. And whatever our harvest could even be what we earn by going to work. That's a thought. Could be what we earn by going to work. And God wants us to use our harvest, whatever they are. So he wants us to share a harvest. There are different types of harvest. I could sell my raspberries, make some money, and use that money to help people. God wants us to share the proceeds of our work. That's what I think he's saying about harvest here. Almost there. Now, I've got another type of harvest on the screen. Now, and this is an olive harvest. I'd like to live somewhere where there was an olive harvest. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Out in the sun. And this is what God said about the olive harvest. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. He said this before, hasn't he? Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. That's what God said last time about the corn, and it's what he said about the grapes. Who are the people that we should help at harvest time? Well, foreigner, what does that mean? I had a bit of an internet look for what foreigner means. Thank you. What it could mean in this time, it could mean aliens. So say it means aliens. But another word is sojourner. A sojourner, not a word we use very often because it's difficult to say. A sojourner is somebody who's just staying temporarily to work in your country, maybe. Somebody who's passing through. Or it could mean foreigners living amongst you. Maybe we should be helping backpackers, you know? Australians, but they're not here, it's no good. Strangers, people travelling through your country. That's what it sort of says in the Bible, but what did that mean at the time? If you were far away from home and you were hungry, there was nobody to help you. I think that's what it means. It means people who are outsiders, people who are perhaps refugees, people who haven't got a family structure to help them. In our country, you can get benefits to help you if you really need help from the government and be paid towards it. So in some senses, in our village, that's one of the reasons why at harvest time we tend to help people who are really starving in other countries or in real trouble. Also, they're people that no one else would help because they didn't have to help them. Ruth actually got help from a relative. But God had said to help foreigners, people who were strangers. And I think it's interesting the way that they were to be helped as well was to have like to be working in the fields along side the people who are picking and to go and pick at the side. I think that's quite a dignified way to get some food. I think it's a way of giving with that gives people dignity. They can gather the food that they want, that they need, and they can work alongside people and they've worked for their food. And so when we're thinking of what to do at harvest time, we try to think of things that let us work together with people. And that's the best way to give. Sometimes you have to give money to people who are in terrible straits, don't you? Like in Pakistan at the moment. It'd be no good giving them dental treatment, you know, the people that have been affected from the floods. But it's good if, as well as doing that, we can give to projects where we're working together with people, like Ruth was able to work together with Boaz and pick the corn. Just like when the project goes out to Ghana, it works together with the local people. And this Tahadi project is about working together with local people in a dignified way. Because if you've not got teeth, I knocked this tooth, see this one? That tooth, I knocked it out 2 weeks before I got married. It was terrible. I looked like an old hag, I thought. No offence. Terrible. I had no tooth there, a big gap, and I didn't feel I had much dignity if I was going to go down the aisle in my wedding dress and a big gaffy tooth here. And I had to get that put in before I could feel I was dignified. If you've not got teeth, you've got to get your feet all, your food all mushed up for you. You can't eat everything. And so we're trying to give some people some dignity, a chance to eat different things, have a healthy diet, have a healthy life. We're going to pray. What we're going to do is we're going to think quietly, say thank you, God, for something that we're grateful for. So let's do that now. We're going to do three things. Thank you, God, for something we're grateful for. Just think of it in our head. Something that God's made. Thank you, God, for making the things that we're thinking of. Thank you for how you look after us. Amen. And then we're going to think of the people in Tahadi. We don't know them. We think of Arthur and Louise and we pray for them. We pray that you'll bless them, that you'll bless their teeth, you'll bless their lives. Amen. And finally, we pray for ourselves this week that you'll help us to have a generous attitude, that you'll help us to see how much you've given us and to feel our responsibilities. Amen.